Ben, why don't you tell us where and how Vesuvius got its start?
Well, when I was in high school, I joined a band formed by one of my co-members in Vesuvius. We were called Of Burning Empires. And then we started playing around in our local scene, playing shows and whatnot, recorded a few songs. But we sort of realized after, you know, 3 years of performing under that alias that we could probably take our experience from that and turn it into, you know, turn it into something better, like sort of right all the wrongs that we did in our first experience as a live performing band. So we figured it was time to sort of flip the script and change the name and sort of figure something out that's a little bit more professional and a little bit more like we wanted to do. And that's sort of how Vesuvius was born. It was just sort of us correcting what we did in our first band, you know, taking our lessons and turning it into something better.
Now, what's the difference between Burning Empires and Vesuvius? Is there a stylistic change involved?
Yes, there was a bit of a stylistic change. In terms of, like, musically, both bands are pretty heavy bands, but I sort of, because in Vesuvius I no longer play guitar, so I sort of took a different approach to writing, to my songwriting style, because I was a big prominent songwriter in both bands, because that's like what I love to do. And so I sort of, I kind of took a step back from the instrumental perspective of writing music, and started to sort of focus on the lyrical content and writing music around that. So Vesuvius songs are structured a little bit differently. Normally for a Vesuvius song, I'll sort of come up with a lyrical concept and then build on it from there. So I'll start in the middle and go outwards, whereas in Upburning Empires, I'll sort of start at the beginning and work my way through. And I think that overall that gives Vesuvius songs much more flavor to them emotionally, because it's much more of a roller coaster, a lot of up and down. And I think that's more along the lines of what I want to do. I feel like I've matured a little bit in terms of my songwriting style, and I'm excited to show that to the world.
Nice. Now, I just heard your song, This House Is Not a Home, and it's pretty deep. I mean, it's not just musically, but lyrically, too. Why don't you tell us what that's about?
Well, that song, I actually wrote the lyrics to that song about a year before we went in and made it a full song with, you know, riffs and screams and all that stuff. And I wrote it at sort of a dark period of my life. I guess last summer would have been, it was a rough period because I just, you know, I was just being a bit of a shithead. I got in a little bit of trouble and stuff. And and I sort of reached a point where I didn't really know what to do next. You know, like I sort of didn't really have any ambition to do anything anymore. I didn't really, every day would sort of wake up, go to work, go to bed. And I didn't really know, I didn't really know where the beginning or the end was. So I just sort of wrote this song where I felt trapped in this cycle, and I wasn't getting anything out of it. And so that song was just sort of about that, like me searching for whatever light was on the other side of what I was going through. And then recording the song, putting it out, was a pretty emotional experience because it kind of brought me back to that, which is, I think, really, like, it really helped me portray that musically, I think, being able to re-experience some things that not a lot of people get to do. And I think that's what makes art so beautiful, is people are given the opportunity to recall these things and to translate these things and allow other people to interpret them however they will. And I think overall, I think everyone did a very good job at helping me do that. So that was a good experience. And we're going to the studio again tomorrow, actually, to record another song about another personal anecdote that I worked on for a while. And I hope the same experience unfolds.
Would you call This House Is Not a Home and then the song you're working on tomorrow bookends in a way?
A little bit. I think overall, like a lot, you can connect a lot of things in someone's life. Like everything from one point to another point, there's a lot of connection within one experience to another, because you walk away from one thing. When you approach the next thing, you know, the lessons you learned from that first thing that you experienced will play a role in how you deal with upcoming life situation. So I think, yeah, for sure, there's definitely a connection from song to song. I mean, the story that this song is about is a little bit different, but I'm sure when it comes out, people will notice like little lyrical and musical similarities between the two, for sure.
Nice. Nice. Because it is therapeutic. I mean, writing a song or writing a poem or even a book or anything. I mean, because it's kind of like, you know, well, I got it out at least, you know?
Yeah, and, for sure.
Well, but the cool thing is with something like a song, you know, I mean, a lot more people listen to the lyrics and not just hear them like some people think. And, you know, so it could become a lesson to other people who listen, you know,
yeah,
like that could be like some people could listen to the song and that would be what they love about the song is that I'm not the only one that's dealing with this.
Yeah.
So bravo. Bravo, man. I mean, because I got some of that too with like when I heard it about my childhood, because I didn't, you know, my family was kind of dysfunctional, you know, when we were all living together. Now that we're all living apart, it's great, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So, and there's definitely a gist of, I mean, even just from like not even needing to interpret the lyrics, there's definitely a gist of family discrepancy in the lyrics in that song. And like, there's a little bit, I have a kind of interesting family background. So that kind of gives me an odd perspective on how to look at, you know, typical family life. And I think that's a gift personally. I think the way things have come together between that and being able to hopefully write music that inspires other people, you know, I think that's a gift for me to be able to have sort of an interesting story to tell people, because it kind of sets me apart. Which is definitely a big part of what Vesuvius is. Like, we don't want to be like, myself personally, like I generally hate to categorize music. It's just something that I don't believe in. Like, I listen to music I like to listen to, and I listen to a very, very broad range of music. So like, when I started writing for Vesuvius, I was thinking about like, what is outside the box? Like, I don't want to write something that has been done before, has been heard before. I just want to write something that like is cool and like people might like, you know. You don't want to think too much about it. You just want to like sort of put something out there and hope that people respond well to it.
Exactly. And you've done it. You've done it here. So that begs the question, how hard was it to do that?
You know, it was, I guess, like, I don't know. It's sort of odd because I don't really, it's hard to kind of give it a certain level of difficulty. It's sort of hard to peg that on writing music. It's just sort of something that I like, something I really enjoy doing. So the fact that, you know, other people might think that it's enjoyable to me is a blessing, because, you know, I enjoy putting it out. So if other people enjoy listening to it, then everyone wins. But in terms of, I don't know, like, I guess it just like a lot of this, like that Vesuvius song honestly felt really natural to write. Like, it just had a bunch of things, like had a bunch of riffs in there that, you know, might not have been heard in that sequence before. And I think that, you know, with the right production and the right musicians could make it work no problem. And I'm hoping at least that's what we managed to do with that release. So
what are your tour plans this summer? And you had talked about that you're getting the live version of the band going.
Yeah, well, when we first started Vesuvius, we actually didn't have a full live band set up, so we decided that we would stick just sort of four of us as like official band members, and then assemble a live band just for performance purposes. But this time, like, we started working with a couple live musicians, and this time going into the studio, they're actually going to be on the song. So after the studio, when we release our next track, I think we're going to announce like our official lineup as a live band. And so after we can get all that out of the way, I think we'll line up some shows, hopefully tour around. We've been sort of timid doing it because with Unburning Empires, a big element of switching band names was to perfect our live performance, because we felt like we didn't quite do that in the first band. So, with Vesuvius, we wanted to take the necessary time to make sure that when we put on a show, it's exactly how we want it to look and sound from an audience member's perspective.
Now, do you have any cities, like dream cities in mind? Like, what's the ultimate places for you to play?
honestly, in terms of dream places to play, that's actually kind of a hard question. I've traveled a fair bit in my childhood, and I really want to go back to Europe. I really want to revisit some places I went to as a child. Like, I really like Helsinki and Berlin and Stockholm. I want to go play places like that, almost just for the experience of traveling there, because I feel like I would have a new respect for those particular cities at an older age, especially doing something I love.
Now, you would probably go over really good in Europe too, because I mean, there's like a resurgence of you know, the more hardcore music over the last I would say 5-6 years, you know, like with Wacken and everything like that, and you know,
yeah, for sure,
yeah, especially like in Germany and Austria. I think you guys would go over really well. So, are you guys taking the steps to make that happen, or?
Well, I mean, baby steps, I guess. I think I want to establish us as a studio band for sure first. So, you know, when we tour, we have something to tour on. But yeah, I mean, in terms of making it happen, I think it's sort of a waiting game, because I think I'm happy with what we're doing as musicians, and if I'm happy with it, you know, hopefully someone else will be happy with it as well and be able to send us on the road. I think that's sort of what we're waiting for at this point. And, you know, hopefully we can make that happen relatively soon, because I'm certainly itching to get out there.
Yeah, because you got to do it right, too. I mean, I've seen
all... Yeah, well, that's just it. That's why we're taking all these necessary measures, you know, making sure the songs we're putting out are exactly as I envisioned them, or exactly as we as a band envisioned them. And I think that's important to be able to take that time to make sure it's all done right. And I'm touring on material that I think people will really enjoy.
Now, are you guys going to eventually launch an EP or an LP at some point?
Well, I think right now we're sort of in the writing process of a full-length record. It's not going to be the longest full-length record, but it's going to be longer than an EP, and it's going to be entirely conceptual. I think that's sort of along the lines of what we're working on right now. Other than that, I can't really give too much away, because we're still in the writing process and things are always subject to change. But, I think we have a decent idea of what we want to do, and I think we're in the middle of making that happen, so it's really exciting.
I think that's kind of the beauty of the music scene today. Like, I remember back in the 80s and 90s, like, you had to make a full EP, like 10 songs minimum, and I think that's where we got some of the filler songs of the day, you know, so it's better. I like the scene nowadays, how everything's done, you know, more online anyway, because then there's not, you know, you don't have to listen to songs 3 and 4 to get to song 5.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so I think now is a better way to do it. Now, do you think the internet has changed the music scene in other ways like that, or?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the internet just generally has changed everyone's idea of censorship, right? Because now, you know, now music's accessible in an even easier fashion to everybody. Just give me one second. Sorry about that. So I think it's, you know, it's definitely affected, you know, the ability to create in a way that is sort of hard to describe. Because now people can do whatever they want, really. And whether or not, you know, people like it, they're going to be able to get their voice out there, good or bad. So, yeah, for sure. I think it's definitely opened up a lot of doors, and a lot more people are doing more what they want to do and less what people, you know, industry personnel want to see them do.
Now, do you think the internet has changed the way you promote as well, not just the way you release your music? Because, like, to give away my age a little bit, I was in a band throughout the 90s and throughout the 2000s, and our version of social media back in the 90s was plastering the town with posters, you know. So
yeah, for sure.
So I mean, do you find it better nowadays that you can literally reach anybody in the world, whoever can find you?
Yes. Well, in a way, it sort of saturates it a little bit as well. I mean, it depends on because you could reach more people, but the thing is there's more people wanting to reach more people, right? So I mean, in terms of accessibility is obviously a lot easier, but the problem is accessibility is easier for everybody. So like the playing field is still level, you know? So, But I certainly think that the internet is helpful for subcultures such as metal, because when you're putting up posters around town, you know, there's a very, very large percentage of the population that will just avoid it completely. Whereas with the internet, there's a lot of things that it's inevitable that you will come across eventually, regardless of whether or not that's something you're a part of. So I think, you know, for subcultures, the internet is certainly beneficial. But overall, I think, you know, I don't think it changes too much what, you know, like what, like how many ticket sales you might get to, you know, people to come out to a show or whatever, like how many people are going to listen to your record or whatever. I don't really think that changes too much with the internet, but, you know, it certainly revolutionized the way people really see every sort of creative medium.
Yeah. It's kind of made the major labels irrelevant on a certain level too, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I don't know. In my opinion, like in a perfect world, you know, the music that is worthy will be, you know, will go somewhere, whether or not it's through the industry or independently, but there's just still are so many factors to contribute. I mean, especially now, like not even just the internet, but just technology in general makes it a lot easier for somebody to learn how to, like, you know, mix a song perfectly, you know? So it's like, it gives a band sort of this ability to just sort of drive two blocks to their local producer and put out a song that sounds amazing, just because that's sort of the level of competition that we have now. And with the technology, if you take enough classes, you know, anyone can sort of start putting magic together musically in their bedroom or whatever. So, I mean, that definitely adds like a ton of competition to the general market, but at the same time, you know, the more music that's being put out, the more people will listen to the music, and in essence, that's good for the community. So
yeah. Now I ask every band, every indie band, the same question. I ask you now, if Virgin or Atlantic or Capitol or Sony or any of the other major labels called Vesuvius up and then offered you the standard first album contract, would you take it?
Would I take it? Well, I mean, the thing is like, I would like my music personally to reach the biggest platform possible. I don't think, you know, as long as if I have 100% creative control, then I don't think selling out is possible. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I'm still writing my own music, if they have faith in me to write, thanks a lot. Take care, guys. So like, you know, if I, if this label is placing enough faith in me to write what I want to write and, you know, put out like the shirt design that I want to put out or whatever, then yeah, for sure I'll sign that contract. Why not? I mean, I'm not really selling out. I'm just reaching a much bigger audience.
Yeah.
So
what if,
in my opinion, that's fine.
Well, what if the trade-off is they now have an input on your music?
Then no, I'm not signing that contract.
Good.
And if they really want to sign my band, then they're signing my band on the premise that they, you know, that they enjoy what I've written, I hope. And in that case, you know, then sign my band and let me write the music, because it's not going to be changing. So I don't really think that me losing any creative control is necessary.
Yeah, because if they liked you before, then why are they so paranoid all of a sudden to want to change anything?
Yeah, if anything, I'm gonna write even better music, because now I know that it's going out to more people. And I mean, when you think about it, you know, every single day I spend trying to put something together, in essence, I'll get a little bit better at that, because, you know, practice makes perfect. So the more time goes by, hopefully the better songs I'll be able to write.
Well, and also on the logistics side of it, you're going to get an advance, which means you're going to have more time to spend, you know, fine tuning the band and the music anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so
yeah,
which is always a good thing. But yeah, I never understood why major labels do that. It's like they see enough of in a band to sign them, and then they like want to assembly line it and change everything. I just never understood that. And they do, it seems like they do that even more nowadays, you know, with the industry changing. I think it's because they, you know, because they're getting a smaller share of the market because of the indie scene.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, well, I mean, if labels are getting a smaller share of the market, then they'll want to be more active in the business plan as to how they're going to sell a particular artist. And I think that, you know, I think, in my opinion, I think instead of being a part of the business plan to sell that artist, you should just find an artist worth selling. But that's sort of my take on it. But, I mean, you know, I'm sure that differs between from person to person.
Well, let's put you in another scenario. Okay, say say it's 10 years from now, and you've done the major label thing. You know, all you know, Vesuvius is world famous. You go to a bar one night with your girlfriend or your wife or something, or a couple friends, and you see a bar band covering a Vesuvius song. Do you want to go the BMI ASCAP route, or do you just want to appreciate it?
Sorry. So I'm at a bar. Okay, I'm at a bar.
Yeah.
And so what's happening now at the bar?
Yeah, you're world famous at this point. Vesuvius is chart toppers. You go to a bar with your wife, your girlfriend, or a couple of friends. You see a Vesuvius cover band.
Oh, gotcha. I don't know what I would do at that point. I would sit back and appreciate it for sure. I don't really know, because to be honest, I don't, that would be a little bit, well, I think to be like at this point in my life, I think that would be absolutely insane that someone would respect my writing well enough to cover my song. That's just an absolute honor. But I certainly wouldn't go to like BMI and ask them for, get money from it, I don't think.
Yeah, well, you know what's funny? I mean, I've heard stories of artists. You know, like here in particular, my brother, he's in a band, and they got invited to a Hollywood party, and they covered a Prince song, and somebody videotaped their show, and then Prince sent them a cease and desist.
Oh, really? I think I did hear about that.
Yeah,
I think I heard about that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's really hard to, imagine, to be honest. I really don't think I would sue someone for playing my music, but, my only hope is that the cover band is good and hopefully is doing the song justice, really. That's all I care about. And if they enjoy playing it, then, that makes me feel good as somebody who helps put it together.
Yeah. Well, because I've also heard on the flip side that some famous artists that have, you know, seen cover bands, you know, bands that are tribute bands to their band, that they, when they're close to them physically, they'll go there and play with them.
Yeah. Yeah. I would do that. Sure. Well, I mean, I guess it depends on, where we are, but, I think, sure, why not?
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, that's to me, is just how much of a weird time it is now. It's like, you know, on one side, it's like, okay, I want you to appreciate our music, but I want, you know, but I don't want anybody touching it, you know. And then on the flip side, it's like, yeah, do it. You know, I hear a lot of people that would let you just do whatever you want to it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I fit in the second category, I think, anyway. I don't know. I've never really had anyone cover my song. I think that would be really cool to see. But I did have, back with Overburning Empires, I'm pretty sure, a few people did, remixes and stuff of some of the songs. I mean, that stuff's awesome, you know? That just opens up my accessible fan base, because now people are like, oh, I like EDM. Oh, that's kind of a cool, you know, chorus or whatever to put in your EDM song, listen to the original song. Boom. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I make a new fan, maybe not, but you know, at the same time.
Well, but it's a compliment
too. It really opens that up.
Absolutely. You know, it's a compliment. I mean, that's why, you know, sometimes it's weird. Cause I've heard artists that have told me, you know, that son of a bitch to remix my music, you know? And I'm like, dude, it's a compliment.
Yeah, you know? that's what I think for sure. I mean, I don't know. I guess I can sort of understand the perspective of somebody who might be upset if somebody, with production being so widespread now, a lot of people upload music onto forums, and then other people will remix the actual stem to put their own mixing flair on it, instead of putting it in a drum and bass song or whatever, they just remix the song as it is. And I mean, I've heard some people damage some pretty good songs before without really adding anything to it. So, I mean, I can see maybe something like that, you know, or I guess also if when people leak other artists' music, they'll put out bad quality music, but I think that's something different entirely. So I don't know. I don't really. Yeah, I guess overall, I don't totally understand the "Don't cover my song." Stigma.
Yeah, yeah. Because I don't understand some of it. I mean, yeah. If it totally sucks ass, yeah, I would bitch too. But you know, if they're bitching about not getting the 38 cents from ASCAP, man, I mean,
yeah, that's a little bit ridiculous.
You know, I mean, I can dig in my pocket and handle that issue.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but well, what does Vesuvius have coming up? I mean, we've got the other song that you're working on starting tomorrow. You're gonna work on playing out live because you get the live version up. But what else you have coming up? Like to solidify your hold in the media.
Well, we're doing a debut show in Ottawa on the 8th of August, and hopefully at that point, I'm not gonna 100% guarantee. Hopefully at that point, we'll have our second single out already. So, you know, people will sort of be able to jam along to the set. And then after that, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, I think we're sort of going to play it by ear after we release that second song. And I guess see how it goes. I mean, we have that show lined up. We're going to put out another song, and then we're going to keep writing a record, and we're going to hopefully release it.
Nice.
And hopefully within that time frame, we'll be able to, you know, have a good enough live performance that I think we're ready to be on the road and put our money into that unless somebody thinks that it's worth the investment.
Nice. Well, I can't wait for you to get on the road, man, because I think what you've got going on here would go over great live. So
I think after rehearsing, I think now with the, you know, with the different take on how I'm writing music, I mean, I don't bring anything on stage except for a microphone anymore. And I think that really lets me sort of perform the way I want to perform. And I think I can say the same about my co-vocalist Billy. I think like that like kind of gives him the ability to do what he wants to do. And yeah, and I think if you're doing what you want to do, there's really not, it's really impossible for your show to go too poorly.
Yeah. Now do you miss playing guitar live?
No. To be totally honest, like, I mean, to a certain extent, I do quite enjoy playing guitar, and I still write my music on guitar, but in terms of playing guitar live in like a metal setting, nah, like I think I'll pass. Like I've really picked up playing acoustic guitar recently, and I've been writing a lot on that too. That I love to do, but playing metal riffs on my electric, I mean, like, I'll, you know, I'll jam around every now and again, but I don't think in a live setting, you know, it adds a layer of stress, and that doesn't let me perform the way I want to perform.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, more power to you, man, because I'm a guitar player myself, and that's why I asked that, so.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, like, I love playing guitar. I just think that, like, you know, I don't think that's where my passion lies as a performer, but, you know, I certainly think it's an asset to how I write my music, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Well, best of luck to you, man. I mean, you're off to a great start, and I love what I'm hearing so far.
Yeah, thanks
so,
a lot, man.
So, well, thank you for being on the show, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Anytime anyone ever contacts me about, you know, talk music, I'm always game.